Many families gathered this week to share a meal and some gratitude around the Thanksgiving table. When I was a kid, this meant that the relatives we didn't often see, and a few we did, would come together often at our home. Long after the turkey was gone and the pie was just another loosened notch in our belts, we'd be lingering around the table telling stories. There was the funny one about the time my mom, as a child, thought she'd seen the devil himself. It was really just her Uncle Henry in his red long johns, jumping up and down, cursing like a sailor because he had stepped on barefoot on a toy. Or the cautionary tale about the greed and cruelty of my great aunt Hilda Podesta, who, during the Great Depression, insisted on charging interest when lending money to her family, taking a few cherished pieces of wedding china as collateral and holding on to them for decades, long past when the debt was paid. There were nostalgic stories of times and people loved and gone, as well as revealing stories about people still with us. I know you all have your own stories. They may be family tales or those passed on in circles of friends or activists, in book clubs or in covenants, or anywhere we join together with others. Last week, Reverend Lydia had us share with one another here in the sanctuary stories of courage, and the room was abuzz with the voices of all of you, telling the tales of people, perhaps even yourself, doing something courageous. It is through these stories that we learn about how people before us and around us made it through challenging times they faced, and maybe learn something to do or not to do from their example. These stories bind us to one another across generations with invisible strands of hope and love that transcend time and space. We need these stories, especially now. All generations have hard times, of course, some worse than others. Some live their whole lives in a war zone, literally in the struggle. Generations of people were born into slavery and died still enslaved. White women struggled 70 years to win the right to vote. And it took many more years before people of color had the protection of the Voting Rights Act to use it. We know that these struggles are with us still. How have your people, your family, struggled? Christiana is one of many people inspired by Václav Havel, who was a philosopher and poet before he was elected to the presidency of Czechoslovakia in the Velvet Revolution. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a poet as a president? His example of holding on to hope during dark times is a powerful one for us today. I am a huge fan of music of the civil rights era, filled with messages of holding on and keeping our eyes on the prize. What stories or songs inspire you? What are the lessons you've been encouraged to draw from the tales told around your table? Kid Astronaut just sang, "I wonder if we disconnect because we don't know who we are." I believe that it's through our stories that we connect and tell ourselves and each other who we are. I think that telling stories helps us define who we are and where we stand and who we stand for. And we can ask this question and tell stories about ourselves on so many levels. Who am I by myself? Who are we as a family? As a group? As a congregation? As a faith? As a society? When I think about these questions as an individual, I find myself asking, how am I going to get through this hard time? What have I learned from my experience that might help me going forward? What have I been through that will prepare me for what's to come? What are the personal resources that I can draw on and the lessons I need to learn? I've engaged with some of these questions by writing short stories about my own life, and I encourage others to do it by teaching memoir writing classes in my home. I guess in my own way, I am carrying on my family tradition of storytelling around the table. In fact, just 2 days before her heart attack last week, Sheila was sitting there sharing a story of her childhood in one of those classes. What a great storyteller she was. She was so enjoying writing stories from her long and fascinating life, always keeping an eye out for lessons that she could pass along to her grandchildren. I think she would be the first to say that she wished she'd started sooner, because she had so many stories yet to share. We can ask this question as a family or a group. Some people have family stories about what defines them, the qualities that bind them together or set them apart. Maybe your family has an identity as leaders, as hard workers, or hard drinkers, or good gardeners, or, as the song goes, wanderers, worshipers, lovers of leaving. I remember with pride the time that, I'm going to get choked up here. I remember with pride the time that Morgan brought home a project from elementary school where she was asked, what makes your family special? And she had printed very carefully in her little first grade script, we are loving. This is not the first word that Larry or I would have used to describe our respective families growing up, although they were good families. So I saw that as a great success. History is not destiny. It's not always a straight line from grandparents to child. Because we have free will, we have an opportunity to embrace or reject the ways of those who came before us. Similarly, we can ask this question about who we are as UUs. Indeed, we have a rich and beautiful history as Unitarians and Universalists, and then together as Unitarian Universalists. Members of our faith who have gone before us espoused our values in government, movements for social justice, literature, and philosophy. In the 19th century, Unitarians and Universalists were active in abolitionism, the women's movement, the temperance movement, and other social reform movements of the time. In fact, the second Women's Rights Convention was held at the First Unitarian Church in Rochester, New York. Additionally, four presidents of the United States were Unitarians: John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Millard Fillmore, and William Howard Taft. Historically, UUs have been active in the civil rights movement, the LGBTQ rights movement, and the feminist movement, as well as many other campaigns for social justice. Writers such as Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, Charles Dickens, a personal favorite, and Beatrix Potter have inspired us. We may be small, but we punch above our weight. Truly, we have much to be proud of. Nonetheless, our history is not always a noble one. Just as in my own family, I'd rather hear the stories of the talented musician or the generous or thrifty matron, I must admit that we also have stories of alcoholism and neglect and cruelty. It can be hard to look at it clearly and without making excuses. However, it is important and helpful to know the past so that we can learn from it. In this endeavor, it is good to embrace the concept of Sankofa. Sankofa is derived from the Akan people of West Africa, and it means it is not taboo to go back and fetch what you forgot. Or, sometimes more simply put, go back and get it. This, in fact, is the symbol, and you see the bird turning around, getting something off their back, right? go back and get it. One of the ways our religion is embodying Sankofa is to go back and do an honest and even painful retelling of our UU history. One particular effort is being led by the Reverend Mark Morrison Reed, who is challenging us to learn and share the story of Joseph Jordan, the first African-American Universalist minister. In 1892, Joseph Jordan founded an African-American congregation in Norfolk, Virginia. While UU lore since then has highlighted how the denomination supported him and his ministry, Reverend Morrison Reed completes the story by telling us the painful and important parts that have been left out. It seems that Reverend Jordan also wanted to found a Universalist theological school to train African American ministers, but was unable to raise the $6,000, about $150,000 in today's dollars, needed from the leadership of our faith. While at the same time, the leadership contributed that amount per year and hundreds of thousands of dollars to a Japanese mission. Reverend Morrison Reed asks us to consider, what would we be like now if there had been Black Unitarian preachers preaching in our congregation all those years? I believe we need to tell stories about our failures in order to learn how to move forward into wholeness. Sankofa teaches us we must go back to our roots in order to move forward. As individuals, families, congregations, and as a faith, we should reach back and gather the best of what our past has to teach us so that we can someday achieve our full potential. I used to ask my dad what it was like during World War II or growing up in the Great Depression. Tales of these famous difficult times seemed so foreign to a kid growing up in suburban Cincinnati in the 1960s and 70s. Reading the diary of Anne Frank in German Cincinnati, Ohio, I'd wonder what I would have done in Nazi Germany. Surely I would have been one of the good ones, I would say to myself. Well, now I guess I'm going to find out. Because we are surely living through hard times right now. And I know that many stories will be written and told about this era that we're living in. I often say to Morgan, pay attention. Look around at what's happening right now. You are living in historic times, and your grandchildren will want to know all about it. Remember what's happening. Profound income inequality, a surge toward authoritarianism, a heartbreaking backlash of racism and sexism, cruel treatment of asylum seekers and immigrants, unconscionable denial of the environmental catastrophe that has been unleashed on our planet. These are just some of the momentous forces that are swirling around us these days. What are the things that strike you as most important right now? Like many of you, I've invested more of myself in the fellowship lately, in part because of what's going on out there. It feels good to be with a community of like-hearted people like you, building something positive for the future when there is so much pain and fear in our country. By remodeling and expanding our building, we are seeking to fulfill our dream of becoming a center for spiritual exploration and radical justice making. I see us creating a vessel for that positive vision of the future to flow through, a monument of hope for future generations. We are about to reach our 40th anniversary as a congregation, and I've been thinking about what sort of legacy we'll be leaving for the members of our fellowship in 2058, 40 years from now. I hope that they will be sitting in that well-worn but still beautiful sanctuary, telling tales of hope and courage, of confronting unjust policies. I hope there will be evidence that we embraced love and welcomed the stranger. I hope there will be recordings of meaningful moments and beautiful music. and memories of how our commitments deepened and our understanding evolved. I know I want to make a difference and have my story survive me. Perhaps you share stories around the kitchen table like I did growing up. What stories would you tell about these times? What would you want people in the future to know about what it was like and what you did to respond and to survive? And then, how will you share it with them?